Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. We'll read a single verse this evening, verse 13. We finished the Beatitudes just a few weeks ago, studying them verse by verse, and now we move on to the sayings of Jesus, in particular, later in Matthew 5, what are called the six antithetical sayings of Jesus, where he says, "You have heard that it has been said, but now I say." The next few weeks, we consider the theme of salt and light. So it is with great joy I read to you from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, these powerful words, the powerful saying of our Lord Jesus. One verse alone, verse 13, listen closely, for this is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." This is the word of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we pray that your word preached long ago on that mountainside to your disciples and the crowds even beyond would ring true in our hearts and lives today. And we pray that the imagery and metaphors of our Lord Jesus would grip our imagination, that even this coming week, his word may resound in our hearts and echo in our minds as we ask, what is this high calling of being the salt of the earth? Grant that all who hear in this assembly as well as listen to this sermon later, oh Lord, would seek to be with our Lord Jesus Christ, the salt of the earth. Thank you for your blessed word. May it have its effect upon us, we ask in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. A man walked into a little grocery store, and he asked, "Do you sell salt?" Well, the owner replied, "Do we sell salt? Take a look for yourself." And he showed the man a wall with shelves covered and stocked with salt. Every kind of salt you could imagine. There was Morton salt, seasoning salt, Epsom salt, every kind of salt you could think of. "Wow," said the customer. "Oh, you think that's something," said the man. "Come here and look." And the owner took the man back to the stock room and he showed him shelves and bins and cartons and barrels and boxes all filled with salt. "Unbelievable," said the man. "Then let me show you something else," said the owner as he took the man downstairs and showed him the entire storage room, wall to wall filled with every salt of every shape and size, even those 10-pound salt licks for the cow pasture. "Incredible," said the man. "I guess you really do sell salt." "Nah," said the owner, "we never sell salt. That's the problem. But that salt salesman, he knows how to sell salt." The moral of the story, salt that stays on the shelf does no 12 verses. Our Lord Jesus Christ has described what born-again Christian behavior looks like. It is called the Beatitudes. He has taught the Beatitudes. He has taught them to his disciples. And these were men who were saved by grace. They were blessed by Christ. And so the Spirit indwelled them, and they should live remarkable lives. Later, Jesus would say, Christians should not let their light shine under a bushel. Christian living should be noticed. Just like we notice light in the world, just like we notice salt on our food. And so this evening, we are going to consider what our Lord Jesus Christ means by that phrase, "You are the salt of the earth." Let's look at verse 13 one more time. I'll read it again. He says this, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." In the first century AD, Pliny the Younger once said these words. He said, "Nothing is more useful than salt and sunshine." And that's true. Salt and sunshine are two common household goods. Jesus certainly saw their value as a young boy growing up in first century Palestine. And so in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus borrows these two commodities to teach us about living differently in the world as Christians. He says, "We are the salt of the earth." And in the ancient Near East, salt had three major functions, meaning you and I have three major functions, and that's our first point this evening. Three things salt does that you and I, as followers of Christ, need to keep in mind. Firstly, salt preserves. Secondly, salt flavors. And thirdly, salt causes thirst. Let's look at them in order. Firstly, salt preserves, and so should you and I. Recently, Lynn and I got a new refrigerator, but it wasn't necessarily because the first one was broken. It was still working at the time, and the refrigerators I've had have been great, remarkable devices. They seem to never break down. My car breaks down a lot. My furnace has. My water heater, I was scared yesterday that it was broken, but not my refrigerator. It just keeps humming. And a refrigerator performs a remarkable feat. It does two things. It transfers heat out of my food and coolness into my food so that the food does not rot. Well, up until the 20th century, our generation, our lifetime, that was the purpose of salt, not refrigerators. Salt did this. Salt preserves food. The ancients would rub their meat into the salt or soak their meat in very salty water. And the purpose of that were to keep the flies and the maggots and the mold off of the food. And so when Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," what he means is that the world is like meat spiritually. The world is decomposing. The world is rotting. The world is festering. The world is putrefying physically and spiritually. The germs of evil are everywhere, and God wants to use you to slow it down. We see in the book of Genesis, the Bible teaches that when sin came into the world, it brought misery, death, and judgment. When our first parents sinned against God, the world died spiritually like raw meat, and it has been starting to stink and stink and stink more and more. Genesis 6, verse 5 says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the heart was only evil all the time." That sounds like our world. In that day, God sent a flood to destroy the sinful world. He gave humanity a second chance, and what did we promptly do after that second chance? Humanity fell again. Because you see, you and I live in a world that rushes into sin like a maggot rushes to raw meat. That's the way of the world. Do not be deceived. God, who created this world good, reading Genesis chapter 1, you see that word good again and again and again and again. God creating his world good did not desire his good creation to totally crumble. And so God has been busy rubbing salt into the world, rubbing it deeply into the world so that it stays fresh a little while longer. Well, here we see in this teaching of Jesus, you are that salt. You are God's divine instruments of rubbing into the world to preserve the world. Now, God, in case you're feeling a lot of pressure, wow, Pastor, that's a lot to put on me. Well, God uses other things to preserve the world. We learn in the Bible, he has ordained civil government. And, you know, we love to complain about government, especially this year, right? Has it ever been a greater year to criticize government than 2016? Not in my lifetime. Of course, it seems like every year I'm living, that's the year that it's most convenient to criticize government. But government does things, some things well and right. They make and enforce laws. God has also given us family life. He's ordained the human family. And one of the benefits of family life is that family life helps to curb our sinful tendencies. Because there's always somebody nearby to say, hey, cut it out! I always tell the teachers at school, you ever go to parent-teacher conferences and they tell you about your children and you don't recognize half of the things they say? They're little angels? And I always tell, you know, friends and family that, you know, the kids, we beat each other up at home so we're presentable in public. It's the role of family. God has given us government. He has given us family. But here we learn in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus intends for redeemed Christians to be part of the preserving aspect in this world. And so this is how it happens when you and I show up. Suddenly, it should feel uncomfortable to people to do wrong. When you and I show up, people should speak differently and act differently than they would if we were absent. The presence of Christians in the world should reduce crime. It should promote honesty. It should advance goodness. It should retard social decay. Is this happening when you and I show up and people get to know us? Are we making a difference in the lives of our world? Are we being salty? Salt preserves. A second function of salt, salt not only preserves, secondly, salt flavors. Salt flavors things. Now, salt is a condiment. Salt is a spice. We put it on our food to make it taste better. I remember when somebody first told me how MSG worked. MSG is not a very healthy spice at all. And back in my day, it was the big thing. You could put MSG on cardboard and make it taste like pizza. It's not healthy. But it makes things taste great, and that's what salt does. It can make things taste good. Following Jesus should bring zest and spice to our lives. Jesus in our lives should make our lives taste better. For without God, life is bland. Without Christ, living is not appetizing. But for those who follow Jesus Christ and are truly alive, we should have a spicy, tasty life. We should be most joyful. We should be most courteous. We should be most faithful in labor and service because Jesus has brought flavor to our black and white lives. And so we are not called to be pale-faced, boring, flat-chested Christians, brooding our lives away without ambition in life, waiting to die, waiting for this world to get over with. Oliver Wendell Holmes put it this way. He said, I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not acted and looked so much like undertakers. We're not undertakers. Spice. This comment was made by someone who saw tasteless Christianity around him. We are called to be the salt of the earth. We are called by God, filled by the Spirit, led by His Word. We are not to be doom and gloomers who have lost taste for life. Does the world see your zest for living? Are we being salty? Salt flavors. Firstly, salt preserves. Secondly, salt flavors. Thirdly, salt creates thirst. Salt creates thirst. Now, Jesus was forever making people thirsty for his Father. You might remember John 7:37 on the last day of the feast. Jesus stood and he said to the crowd in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come after me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, streams of living water will flow out of him." And the people came. Mary Magdalene came by day. Nicodemus came by night. They came when Jesus was eating. They came when he was sleeping. Morning and night they came, and people should be coming to the Father as well because of us. You and I, by zesty and salty lives, should make people thirsty for God. Now, what's fascinating about salt is you only need a little bit. Some of you parents out there may remind people, not so heavy on the salt, just a little bit. A little pinch of salt can go a long, long way for Jesus Christ. The key thing, though, about however much salt we use in our lives is to make sure that the salt gets out of the salt shaker into the world. Pour yourselves out to those who are around you. Rub the salt into the meat of the world. Get involved with lives, the lives of your family, the lives of your community, the lives in your school and in your world. Get out of the salt shaker into the world. That's one reason why early on in our church planting days here at Cedar, we knew we alone didn't have the resources to reach the whole world, so we made partnerships. We partnered with our denomination's worldwide outreach. We partnered with our presbytery's church planting efforts. We've partnered with local ministries, whether Love in the Name of Christ or Holland Rescue Mission or Forgotten Man Ministries or the Lakeshore Pregnancy Center or the Biblical Counseling Center or Jehovah Jireh, something where members could plug into out of the salt shaker into the world. I remember one year when I was volunteering Thursday nights at Love in the Name of Christ. And I loved going there because the minute I walked in the door, people gravitated to me left and right. I hardly had to do anything but just show up. They knew I was a Christian. They knew I was a pastor. They knew I wanted to help. I was certainly not the most famous pastor, nor was I the tallest. Sometimes we short pastors get a complex. I wish I was just so tall with a deep voice. But by hopping out of my shaker into the world on Thursday nights, God created thirst in others through me. And when you get out of your shaker and you intentionally mix with people, intentionally mix with them in the name and for the sake of Christ, whatever it may be, it will make people thirsty for God. Are we being salty? So salt preserves, salt flavors, salt makes people thirsty. Now here is the scary part, the second part and the second point of our message this evening. If in our lives the effect of preserving and making zesty and making people thirsty is not happening, then something else dreadful might happen. Have you ever heard the expression, use it or lose it? Use it or lose it. Well, listen to the warning of Jesus in the second half of verse 13 where he says, in effect, that same thing, that disciples, second point, can be desalted. That's our next point. Disciples can be desalted. Look at verse 13. He says again, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. I know what some of you kids are thinking. How can salt stop tasting like salt? Have you ever gone to your cabin or cottage or to an old motel room on the beach that seems to haven't been used for quite a long time, and you're rummaging through the shelves, and there's a container of Morton iodized salt. Looks like it's been there since 1979. And you might open that up and pour it out, and have you ever tasted it? And it still tastes like salt. How does salt lose its saltiness? Well, you see, salt is made of sodium chloride. Sodium chloride is a very stable compound. It doesn't lose its taste. It doesn't get stale. It tastes salty. However, what our Lord Jesus is talking about is that salt can be diluted. One chemist by the name of Dr. David Turk has suggested in his commentary on this passage that what Jesus popularly called salt in the first century was in fact white powder gathered from around the Dead Sea. I hope to visit there one day. And that white powder, yes, indeed, did contain sodium chloride, which is for us salt, but also many other things. You see, there were no salt refineries in those days, and so the sodium chloride in the white dust could easily get washed out of the compound, diluted, leaving a powder that looks like salt, that was called salt, but did not taste or act like salt. It was merely road dust. Well, the point is this. You and I should be salt, not road dust. Christians should not live diluted lives. We should not exchange a salty life for a weak and watered and namby-pamby watered-down life. We must seek to stay salty. Or the way Jesus says it in Mark chapter 9, verse 50, and I like how he says it. It's almost perplexing. He says, have salt in yourselves. Have some salt. What does this mean? Well, our context tells us that a Christian is salty the more you and I live by the Beatitudes. All right, that's the context. And you and I know those Beatitudes, the Blesseds. The blesseds that Jesus calls blessed, that the world calls not so blessed. Living by the Beatitudes makes one living a salty life. A Christian is spicy the more he or she lives like Jesus in word and deed. And so if you and I are to retain our saltiness and grow in our saltiness, we must remain like Christ. The more of Jesus found in us, the more spice found in us. But if we lose our saltiness and are diluted by the world, we lose our influence. So how different are you from the world? Are you salty or are you diluted? Or to use the analogy of heat, are you heating the world up or is the world freezing you out? Do you spread Jesus around, or does Jesus get squeezed out of you? Listen to this rhyme, it is true. If the world we do not salt, then the world will make us rot. Sometimes the world does more harm to us than salting we do of the world. How do we handle our money? How do we allow attitudes to form in our mind? What words do we permit to come out of our mouths? What values do we foster in our lives? What goals do we set for living in this world? Are you salt or are you white dust? Are we salty or just gritty? Well, if we are gritty, then Jesus goes on in verse 13 to say some devastating words. If you are not salty, you are worthless to God. Of no use to God. Verse 13 says, no longer good, for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. If you and I live like we are not Christians, then we will be trampled by God on the day of judgment. Because you see, an important truth is this: a Christian is as a Christian does. Now, that does not mean that we are saved by being salty. That is not what we are saved. We are saved by God's grace. We are saved when we confess our sins to God and receive the free grace of Jesus Christ as a divine gift alone. However, being salty is part and parcel of a living relationship with Jesus. He is salty. If he is in us, we are salty. Be salty. So I ask this question: are you salty? Do you have a sincere and vital and active relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you turned away from the world and the sin and said, I want Jesus in my life? Or have you lost your saltiness? Maybe you began strong with Jesus, but you've lost it and you want Jesus to resalt you, not reject you. Over the years, as a longer time pastor, you begin to meet people who've gone through seasons of life. And I've met older people in church, and they've told me how that their faith over the years had started to become bland, dull, white powder. And God did something, and he shook them up. And they saw that their faith had become a lifeless faith that they repented of. And now they're salty again. And God is using them to preserve and flavor and create thirst for him in the world. He did it for them. If this describes you, he can do it for you. You ask him to resalt you. He will. Well, let me close tonight's message with by saying that you and I, we may be a little grain of salt in the world. And sometimes, if you ever look at a little grain of salt, you say, how can this little grain of salt do anything in this giant bowl I'm stirring? Never underestimate the influence you can have for Jesus Christ. Think about it. When Jesus spoke these words, how many disciples did he have? 12. By his resurrection and the day of Pentecost, how many did he have? 120. Not many in number. Jesus spoke these words early in his ministry. He said to his disciples, you are the salt of the world, when they were few and poor and uneducated. They were merely peasants, and yet he called them the salt of the earth. He didn't call them the salt of Galilee. He did not call them the salt of Palestine. He called them the salt of the earth, the salt of humankind. And today, 2,000 years later, you and I know this to be true. They impacted the whole known world for him. And how did they do it? Well, he did not call them the gold of the earth. He did not call them the iron of the earth. He did not call them the diamonds of the earth. He called them salt. Ordinary, common, everyday salt. Because God uses common things. God uses plain things. God uses mere household commodities to do his mighty work in the world. You don't need to be a gold frame to attract the attention of the world, not even a silver frame. You simply need to be an empty frame, displaying a picture of Christ in and through your life, so that when the world looks at you, they see Jesus. Let us pray. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and sometimes it just smacks us in the face. O Lord, we thank you for the work of preserving when things are going wrong, to preserve them and keep them right. When life is dull and tasteless and seasoning is added, when we are made thirsty for the right things of life. But Lord, we confess that we lose hope and we lose heart and we forget our high and divine calling and we live white powder lives. Lord, we pray that you would resalt us today. We pray, O Lord, that the world would not dilute us, but that we would season the world. We pray that as we draw nearer to Jesus Christ through his appointed means of grace and become like him and overflow in the fruit of the Spirit, that we again, as your people, could be called the salt of the earth. That this place is different because we're here. That people change when we come by. That good things, not evil things, happen under our watch. Thank you, O Lord, for the work of your Holy Spirit in doing this work and in using human agents as your salt. We humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. And let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. Or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.